Now, it's not quite so clear, I think, in a modern cultural setting where, you know, we're showing historic buildings, and they flock to it, you know. But one aspect of it would be the musical ride or the changing of the colors, you know, the marching of the red coat RCMP. Similar things happen, but in places where it's a huge economic impact, you know, that's really all the money that comes in is what the tourists bring. Then it has real power. You know, it's really. So that I like that idea too, but I haven't really tried to. I haven't figured how to work it in. And so, really, I'm asking for suggestions.
Yes, you know? We got quite a few already.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
To follow up on another one, take a time exposure, but do it in half-second intervals, so you get the same person, but kind of shattered. So you get more of a motion of their motion going through it as well,
along with the blur,
and with high enough, you'd actually see, and enough shots, you'd actually see them fill whatever space you were in. Which would certainly fill your space.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
That's a.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'll try that. I have trouble with that picture, and I'm not sure what it is. There's a technical problem. Like the building is not as sharp as it should be. My idea. I'm pretty sure the focus was back here. And yet the only thing I see really sharp is up here. It was
it's
something.
Sharp enough. Don't worry about stuff.
Well, yeah. Not for that size print though. I mean, it should be sharper to me.
Is this the size you're going to be using at your show? That's the size.
Or bigger.
Or bigger, yeah.
I mean, there are some of those that you saw there are composited from their panoramic.
I tend to agree, lack of sharpness where you would like to see things being sharp is devastating on large prints.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, in a picture like this, you don't see it as you blow up. It's just devastating.
Oh, yeah, no, I was a bit shocked when the first one that's here was really taken as a snapshot, and I didn't realize how unsharp it was until I blew it up to this size. So then I started checking all the rest of them, and they're all good. but that one and this one are not. I think I want it sharp.
Maybe I'm just showing my own generation too much, but when you get down to something like that, the first most obvious thing that comes to mind are Kappa's D-Day images.
Her what?
Bob Kappa's images of D-Day.
Oh, yeah. Not much sharp to them.
Well, there was the whole story, you know, that the darkroom tech was so excited he overheated the images and melted the emulsion. But the thing is, from my own standpoint, it comes back to what Lyons and Borkman referred to as photograph as object. You know, if you want something that's disturbing, make the image disturbing.
Mm-hmm. So.
If you're that concerned with having it hugely sharp, that's negating in part, I think, what you're saying is the basis you want to deal with.
Well,
deal with your basis. Don't worry about whether it's perfectly sharp. If you get people who say, oh, that would be a great image, but that building isn't perfectly sharp, they're not looking at the image.
I'm not concerned with technical perfection. I'm concerned with the impact of the image.
Yes.
And to me, the fundamental to the idea is to have the building be sharp.
Okay.
You know, and have the.
Going back to the intention, if you want the building sharp, I agree with you, but at the same time, I think it's a question. If you want the building sharp for whatever you want to say, and it's not sharp, you have a problem. If you don't care, you don't have a problem. If you don't want a building sharp deliberately, then you don't have a problem either.
But if the building is reasonably sharp from a normal viewing distance, you know, on a print that size, you're talking 4 feet away.
Yeah.
If it's reasonably sharp, that's don't worry about
saying just, it depends on the other. Like, an image can be a little bit soft, but if it's the sharpest part of the image, it's okay. If here it's sharp and you want the sharpness to be here, that's where you have the problem.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, it doesn't have to be super sharp.
I can see
sharp.
The chromatic aberration. You got issues with your lens.
And also,
I think so, yeah.
So
I think it's the lens, yeah.
So it might be equipment.
That's what I started thinking.
I wouldn't worry about it. You're worried about the people being disappearing as opposed to the building. It's the composite idea as opposed to...
Yeah.
But did you shoot this?
No, I see what you mean. Like there's a red line right there.
Because the movement, this could be just the reflection. When you stop down too much, then it gets actually more blur than it is, I think.
Yeah.
It might be this because you wanted the blur, so maybe you stop down more, and then that's why it's not sharp.
How bright the sky was.
We're talking diffraction.
It's going to be both.
Well, there's six stops of neutral density on there, too.
That's a pretty big chunk of glass up in front of anything.
There's a difference between the old days and now. The old days, 8x10 was kind of normal. 11x14 was fairly large. 16x20 was huge. Now 16x20 is small. So this has changed. That's why as you blow up, any kink in the picture is going to be blown up as well.
So. Yeah. Well, I do wonder if the lens is going on me, because I've used the same lens really for all those 4 years. It's the 24-70 Nikon 2.8, and like I say, other than that very first one in the original images, they're handheld and they're dead sharp, you know, where I wanted it. Whereas this one, I'm on a tripod and I'm screwing around to try and get some a long shutter, and something's going wrong here.
What were you remember? No, you recall what you were stopped down to?
F18 or 22.
Yeah, that's.
Might be a bit high.
You might be able to compromise instead of using a tripod. Just use a monopod. That way you can just go, and basically it's almost the same as pure handheld.
Yeah.
In terms of the speed of your selection.
Yeah.
But you've got the stability relative.
Yeah. Yeah. Could do. I mean, I don't mind the tripod for this because basically I'm composing, and then I'm waiting for stuff to happen. You know.
Right. So, going back to what Larry is saying. If what you're telling, and I'm not sure I understood, hey, and that's not you saying, hey, it's me with my French and so on. What I'm saying is if you want to show that tourism, they're annoying and so on, and you have, and you focus on getting the building sharp, well, I'm going to look at the building, and I won't see the subject that are annoying, and I won't get the reaction that you're trying to communicate to me. Remember, okay? What are the things that attract the eye? Contrast, focus, and color. Okay? So if you give me pure sharpness on the building, and the building is probably taking a good portion of the picture, I'm seeing the building. And the blur is not what I'm looking at, because the blur is something that I will typically used to move my subject away. The eyes will go to the focus. And having the buildings, you know, if you give me a beautiful landscape, the problem is not going to be the beautiful building. The problem is going to be, who are those folks in there? Why aren't they in focus?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to get annoyed.
So where's the focus of this picture? Where does your eye go?
Look at this.
Uh-huh.
I don't see them.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
No, because they are blurred. I see. I go for, like, in the books that says, you go for it, and I've said it already.
Yes.
So by making them blurred, you're taking them out of the picture.
Uh-huh. Well, that doesn't sound too bad to me in a way. That's sort of what I said I wanted to do.
Yeah. Okay, but. So what am I looking at? I'm looking at a beautiful picture of the American embassy, and I get these guys who didn't want to sign the release form, so you had to burn them. No, remember, we take 7 seconds if you're lucky to look at a picture.
Yeah.
Most likely much less. Yeah. So what do I see? Here I see the museum with the Notre Dame. And I see a lot of space, and these guys are there. It must be early in the morning or something.
Or another possibility is to do cutouts. Keep them sharp, but turn them white.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
And that way you have a whole bunch of segments white people.
Yeah.
And people also get drawn towards white space.
Yeah.
Or the brightest thing in the image.
And yeah. Which gets white.
Yeah. Which is another way to... Yeah. Say the same thing.
Yeah. No, that's a.
It also and makes them anonymous.
Yeah.
Or what you can do is just go with a bunch of actors and get them to do various standard tourist like poses.
Uh huh.
And pop them in.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Jenny? What about just that as opposed to the entire image in terms of what you're trying to say?
What are you doing, Larry?
He's cropping it to here, right?
Much more prominent and much more of an imposition upon the natural landscape.
Yeah, sort of what you were saying before, right?
Yeah.
Like, what also is annoying?
Shoot low, yeah.
Can you tell us what is annoying about tourists?
Oh, it's not... Well, there are some things that you could say, but, they take up space there.
They take up space, but they don't take space here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Canada.
But they're welcome, too. I'm not trying to be annoyed, I'm just commenting on the...
But it's great if you are annoyed.
The point
you need to annoy me.
You need to choose the angle that... I think the message is too wide. You need to narrow it. Like, do you want to show, for instance, from what you've done, it's basically what, from my understanding, what you're saying is, this is all the buildings that tourists want to see, or the landmarks, or...
Yeah, yeah.
And the tourists are just passing by.
Yes.
So in that case, to me, all the tourists should be buried. You can use, just the movement and use a very long exposure, and then it will fill your space because you have more and more and more tourists going
in. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this should be very sharp because that's what you want. And this should be also a very striking image. It's like if it was an architecture image with the tourists passing by.
Right. Yeah.
So that was my first message. Then I think that's where you should focus your images on. But also what you said, it could be, or maybe that's what I'm saying too, is if you wanted to focus more on the tourist side, then I think. Then maybe that's not the best way to show that in those images. So that's why I'm saying it depends what you want to say. You could also do both at the same time, but on different images.
Yeah,
that's
also
a possibility.
Yeah.
But I think you need to determine what is the most important in terms of your focus. Is it the tourist or is it the location?
Uh-huh.
And once you decided this, and you can, as I said, you can split that in two parts. And that would be interesting too, I think. But maybe that's also what is maybe missing is you're a bit in between the both. Yeah, like what I see here, those people should not be sharp. If you're focusing on the Parliament Hill, or if you're interested in the tourists, then I agree with what Tony said that then you should involve the tourists. In maybe not the way he said, but. You need to find a way to involve the tourists or focus more your attention to the tourists, what they're doing or why they're here or I don't know, whatever you want.
Right.
But to me, there are two parts and you can do both or choose one or the other and then just...
Yeah.
Another thing in the images themselves, to treat it from a more documentary point of view, to emphasize moments when the tourists are fairly prominent, but also when they are ignoring the surroundings.
Yeah.
You know?
That's... These girls are doing that.
Yeah.
They have no interest. They're there with the family, yeah. You know.
Or,
it's like,
you know, to be more blatant, a tourist in front of, you know, parliament buildings or whatever else, the tourist is retying their shoelace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, go back. Don't be afraid to call on the classics. Don't be afraid to call on the European group, the Magnum group. FSA even, or, you know, to be really cynical, Robert Frank and his followings.
How do you mean call on? But, like, use them as reference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Use their approach. You know, it's an old classic, but Bressan's The Decisive Moment is still so true.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
And definitely, I would feel, you know, pictures that whether you keep them sharp or blurred or whatever else, but where it's clear that the tourists don't give a shit about what they were there to look at.
Uh-huh.
Or reverse it. Blur the buildings.
Yes. Yes. Did you see?
Blur the buildings,
yeah.
Have all the...
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I mean,
all I have to do is reverse the mask.
I think it's interesting too if people are saying, well, you know, you were saying, I'm not annoyed, I'm just observing. But I think to grab people's attention, it helps to go into your own feelings,
yeah,
whatever they are, even if they're older.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or create, or whatever feelings, yeah, you think other people might have. Even.
That's the whole purpose of them.
Yeah. But I found it interesting. I made up a little card. I meant to bring one, but I didn't. Which sort of describes it. No, it doesn't describe much of anything. It gives the detail of the show, and it has an image on the top of it, and it says how you can get more information at the City of Ottawa and at my website. And but the title is there, Tourists, Here Today, Gone Tomorrow. So I'm on Parliament Hill, and a guy and his wife were posing for me, really, just out of the blue. And then the guy came over and asked me what I was up to, and I gave him one of the cards. That's why I had them. And he didn't say any more, but it was obvious to me he was annoyed by the title.
Well, I would be. I'm,
yeah, I know. That's what, I mean, it is sort of annoying.
it's
dismissive.
Yes, word.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I'm stuck with it.
Isn't dismissive? I mean, if you look at the word tourist, there is tour, there is movement, and I think it's a very accurate and not dismissive description here to the God. Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
There's nothing. That's the definition of it.
Okay. Yeah. No.
That's good too.
Yeah. But it's going to be annoying to some people.
Well, people are free to read whatever they want in anything.
Yeah.
They'd be annoyed anyway.
Who do you want your audience to be?
Not. Yeah. It's not
and
them.
What do you want your audience to come away with?
The Ottawa Tourism Institute. That's my audience. I want them to buy them.
there is something, even if I say it's just a sheer definition of it, there is something really interesting in the title and in the intention, I think,
yeah,
of this movement, this passing, this, and of course, well, when you talk about how to capture this, that's more your problem, but I think, personally, I think this is a fantastic project.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't think you should listen to anybody saying, this is a great degree, this is that. No, this is what you want to do. This is when you do
uh-huh,
what you want to
uh-huh.
do. And you let people say whatever they're free to say.
I mean, you know, depending on how cynical or harsh you want to be, you could have several images, or maybe the last image, just of a little pile of garbage the tourists have left behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, those are all great ideas.
I was in the Museum of Montreal Museum of Art, Fine Art.
And,
yeah. They had a little room off to the side, and there were two teenagers, I guess, just sprawled all over the furniture, paying more attention to their iPhones.
Yeah.
than they were to all of the works that were in the
Yes, definitely.
I did capture that image.
To be contemporary, yes. Definitely. People reading their iPods while, you know, maybe while there's something active, while the guard is changing behind.
Yeah. They're just so absolutely disinterested in what's really happening.
Yeah. That's at the museum.
Yeah, it was actually in that building I was in. They had a little, little room off to the side.
Yeah, I have some from England and from Montreal, too, a bit. But go away. Well, I'm going to try a number.
Another, to expand on what you were saying, you know,
with the white?
Making them white. Have either the tourists or the scene behind them in monochrome.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is that because
that might be a little...
But maybe paling them out rather than...
Which goes back to the double exposure, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you all. I'm going to play with some of those things. There.
There's also one scene that's characteristic in another was near these big Asian tour buses that land in front of Parliament Building.
Yes.
And these people really stand up. They come up as strong. And it's like cameras coming out and taking pictures.
Yeah, I know. Hanging out there will be good. On Sunday, I just missed some kind of a big festival where there were a lot of dark-skinned people in ethnic dress with musical instruments. They'd just been doing something, and I missed it. Now they were breaking up and leaving. And you know.
They weren't tourists.
Hey?
Were they tourists?
No. I would think not.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a tourist is someone who would go by the tourist guide.
Yeah, following the umbrella. Yeah, follow the flag. You always got them running around.
They're the only person walking around the city with a mask.
Right. Oh, if I could get a map in front of the face. Yeah, but they use electronic maps now. Not the same. I may get some actors maybe.
And they get a. So there was a documentary recently about I think it was called the Venice Syndrome. It's people. I remember my parents went to Venice and they thought people were talking local in the city. They go crazy there because their city's been taken away from them.
Yeah.
Because you get so much tourists every day.
Yeah, right.
You can't even walk on the street and meet someone. Because the person you meet is, as you said, here today, gone tomorrow.
Right.
You can't make friendships.
Yeah, yeah.
The prices of the homes are going so high that they have to leave. So they go, it used to be a community.
Yeah, it has a huge impact. On us too, I guess, but it doesn't seem quite so much. I mean, we have community.
Then you have the flip one. And the tourists themselves, they feel most of the time they're getting ripped off.
Yeah.
They want a vacation, but they end up at a place and it's really a tourist trap.
Yeah.
It's all tuned to be like a touristy.
I know whenever I vacation or we vacation, I certainly feel more comfortable where it's something like a home, you know, like a bed and breakfast or the local bar, or the home cooked meal type thing place, you know, where people talk to you.
Interesting, because your whole thing's about alienation. So, you know, how do you connect to people who are going to, you know, how do you show alienation?
Yeah.
And get people looking to not be alienated or to be alienated.
Uh-huh. Well, I suppose the ideal is to get people thinking about the issue, right? Just to somehow expose the issue clearly. Or maybe in interesting ways.
It almost wants you to stop motion watching these buses roll up the Parliament Hill. Everyone's filing out and filing back in, and the bus goes off again. And it happens all day. I mean, and then they do Montreal, Toronto.
Uh-huh.
All right, they fly away.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Sounds like a video.
Yeah.
Well, that would also be cool as well to follow the exact same bus, but and get the exact same tourist coming off the exact same line, but a different tourist spot.
Yes.
Different cities.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'm sure the tour operators would love it.
Well, hired actors definitely probably.
Not even different cities, just one tour bus in Ottawa. They've got what, 8 or 10 spots.
Yeah, that would do it.
It's also fun to have it, in different cities.
And don't forget they have those fake double-decker London buses now.
Oh, yeah.
And those canal boats.
Yeah.
And duck tours.
That would also be the other fun thing, is to do something like having the London buses in all the different cities, but quite clearly it's not in London.
Yeah.
And the faction tourism.
So to expand or get away from the buildings, do any of the boats on the canal going down and people standing looking? And
I think I'm sort of stuck with good buildings.
With buildings?
I don't know. I mean, that's... So originally, I think the way I stated it was good architectural shots,
I think also if you want unity in your show, you have to have some anchor points. So if you go building, you better go building all the way. You want a pizza there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so. If you choose something else in building, that's okay too, but going all over the place, I don't think it's a good idea.
Right. And we have good buildings. Oh, if I can get a good lens, I'm gonna check it out. Well, I feel done. I mean, if you want to keep, I feel like I've got enough ideas to keep me busy for a few weeks anyway. So thank you very much.
I think we're getting ready to make a mini series, don't we?
Yeah, right. Yeah. We got. I mean, okay. So we should all gather on Parliament Hill. Sunday, 10 o'clock.
And have a protest.
Right. And then we can get the RCMP filming us.
Yeah, they're doing that already.
Right. They probably have permanent cameras, don't they?
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you can probably see them.
Jake, do you want these back today?
I do. I want them back. Thank you. And as I said, I'm going to call the list. It's just I don't know anymore who's interested, who's on the list. So I'll ask.
If I can make a general comment, first of all, I'd like to thank you for taking the initiative and having the breath to keep going.
Uh-huh.
Keep going for right above.
You're almost 2 years. Well, no, a year and a half. Yeah.
And I think
Very often, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is quite valuable. Of course, you have to find the people, what's going on, that was a great problem.
Sorry, I couldn't hear.
I said you have to find the people and the right people to come to talk, and that puts the burden on you in particular to go and hunt. I guess at the beginning, maybe there were quite a few people, and then I guess it gets thinner and thinner.
Well, in terms of who will talk,
yeah.
I mean, amongst the people who show up, I think probably most people have talked. You know,
yeah.
I mean, this is twice now for me, but.
And I think people may make a bigger deal than what it is really to go up front and talk, because what I've seen is, you know, quite a few people talked only for 15 minutes, and that was okay, and it spurred the discussion for an hour after that.
Right.
So I think, I don't know how to send the message that people should not be shy at all to get up there and talk about their current project for 10 or 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
To spur the discussion.
Right.
I'm saying people may be intimidated, oh, wow, I've got to talk to, you know, or something like that, right? But in fact, anything that has consistency, that has, you know, like what most people do, right? Project, basically,
yeah.
Something that has, you put your hands around, you can describe, you can characterize, and whatever is enough to go to the front and talk about it.
Yeah, I know a woman who does fantastic painting on top of really close shots of flowers. It would be wonderful.
Yeah. So, Jake, I had a similar thought from what you're saying. Is I don't know, because I've only been to about 3 talks. But you could ask everybody on your list to say when they'd like to speak.
Oh,
right. Instead of, you know what I mean?
Cause yeah, right.
From what you're saying, I think probably everybody who comes here has something to say.
Yeah.
That would be if they want.
But yeah, it's true. I mean, I really agree with but because I thought it was just the people who speak was just people who actually already finished the project, basically.
Yes, often. Yeah,
and I
usually.
Think, so what you did, for instance, like today.
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting, and maybe more people will do it.
Yeah.
If it's very well, like. I don't know, maybe you already said I haven't been to all the meetings, but as I said myself, I didn't really know that you can even just, you know, ask basically comments about an idea that you have and you want to pursue.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's maybe something that's very valuable for artists, when sometimes it's not that you need to know what, you know, of course people will not tell you what to do, but it's just sometimes you want to, you're looking at a lead or a direction, and you have that idea, but you don't necessarily know exactly where to go.
Yeah.
And by sharing that, sometimes it brings your final idea.
Right. Well, I know I'm going to try many of the, you know, things that were suggested. And
nobody threw it down the gauntlet and said your idea sucked. I mean,
well, no.
It'd
be tough. Yeah, I mean, if you brought an idea that sucked, I'm not sure what you do.
We're all way too Canadian. Sam.
Yeah. Well,
all ideas suck.
What?
All ideas suck.
Okay.
For someone, sometime.
Yeah. Caroline Talmadge is the curator now at Exposure Gallery for SPOW, and she sits next to me in this class. And so I said yesterday that, you know, well, Caroline's already rejected this. And And then she said, yes, there's a bunch of people who hate me. No, I don't hate you. You know, it's just, you know, different ideas. Or
one thing I liked it when that guy came who was a troublemaker. I wrote down invite troublemakers because I like arguments. Sorry, I like listening to them. And he's the one who's talking about the future of the print, saying it's going.
Lawrence, yes.
I enjoyed that, but I don't know if anybody else did, because everybody's like, wow.
Well, it was.
Provocative.
It was provocative, yeah.
So, I like that.
Intentionally.
Yeah. Clearly, he was.
Lawrence Cook. I tried to get Michael to include him on the panel that was, they had a discussion at SPO on the future of the print. I said, get Lawrence. You know? But instead he got Lorraine Gibert, Michael himself, and Patrick McHale, which was really, really interesting because, I mean, basically he just wants to sell the stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He had a very interesting perspective on it. But Lawrence would have stirred it up. He was there. He did stir it up. But
so when are we meeting? Back in September?
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. I mean, I haven't talked with our host yet. That's why I was asking about days. And every time we do a future portion, he sounds reluctant. At first,
a future.
I mean, every time, like when we said we were going to do the 6 months that has just passed, when we talked about it, he sounded reluctant to have us, and then he said, "Oh, but I love it. You know, I'm glad you're there."
Yeah.
So we haven't had that discussion yet. Maybe this time he'll say, "Go away." I don't know, but
I suggest that you have a what I did on my summer vacation. Meeting where each person brings one or something.
Yeah.
Just for fun. As a way of reconvening.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, I like your point about controversial topics. That's another thing that could fit in those sessions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you go to find that. But
well, John Berger was a I mean, he's still alive, but he doesn't write very much anymore. But he was a critic, a London critic, who wrote. I've just run into the most interesting essay on photography I can imagine existing, called Appearances.
Appearances.
And you know, I could present something like that. It would be controversial in a sense. You know, I mean, it leads to endless argument anyway. that kind of thing interests me. I don't know, like writings on photography.
Presenting fluorescence.
Yeah.
Do you need anything else to feel your torch has been relit or anything?
My torch has been relit? Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I better go to the bathroom now.
Maybe it's too far-fetched, but with what's happened to photography over the last 10 years, especially with going digital, but with what that's done to photographic collections, you might try a theme and I'm just throwing this out wildly because I'm not into the scene at this point. I've been out of it for decades. Of reviving the CMCP or something similar.
Oh.
Now, even if you could brought in Thomas to talk about that.
Because right.
The CMCP stuff went to Nat Gal. It's pretty well gotten buried.
Yeah,
I think it has nails through it, doesn't it?
I'm sympathetic.
Yeah. But just something in terms of
the politics
starting, or the politics of it.
Yeah, right.
Starting a serious photo gallery again in Canada. Like when I came here in '67, there was the NFB, and they had Kent Street. And no matter what we thought of Lorraine Monk, you always had Kent Street you could go to, and there was new work on the walls.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that continued roughly with CMCP, and then it died.
Yeah. Do you know Jennifer Dixon?
Yeah.
Yeah. She has a lot to say about it.
Well, you can find her.
Yeah.
I think any gallery that would open in Ottawa would be squarely set in the contemporary photography arena and not in the traditional photography arena. Like Patrick McHale is sort of there.
Yeah.
And I think there's no here's the controversy. I think there's no future for traditional traditional photography gallery.
Whether or not, okay, you know, ignore my own traditional bent. You need a gallery that's going to be showing groundbreaking work. So it'll be groundbreaking digital, fine. I can't stand it. That's my problem. Okay? But you need something that's providing a spark.
What's that, Patrick? I know he shows. Why is that not Patrick McHale? I know he shows not just photography; he shows other things. But originally he was going to be a photo gallery.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. But I think he probably had to open up a bit because he couldn't get a volume.
Yeah. Well, now it is mostly not photography. Yeah. You know, there is some.
But if you can find someone like him, uh-huh. bring him in and. Work on it. In other words, this doesn't have to be a place where your one person is providing their background and their views to everyone else. It could be a place where you're trying to influence the one you invited.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
There was an interesting, I don't know if it's which edition it is, the second or the third or the fifth, paper fair. In Montreal in April, May,
This year.
It's annual.
Yeah.
And it lasts for about 4 days or something like that. It was absolutely fascinating because about, so I would say, at least 40% of the paper-based works of art on display were photo-based works. Okay? So to me, it was a very strong signal of how that photo-based work, I'm choosing my words carefully here, that photo-based works are quite current, quite innovative, and you know, valuable to a community of collectors. It could have been 30% for them.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It was a high camp.
Yeah. I'm sorry I didn't get to that. I sort of knew about it. Did you show there?
No, because,
I thought you had...
It's two galleries. It's not individual artists don't show. It's as galleries presenting work from their artists.
Okay. Right, okay.
Which at the same time shows that there's a lot of photo-based work in galleries.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was not just galleries in Montreal. There were people from... There were people from Vancouver, there were people from Toronto, there were people from Western Canada. So it was fun. We had a chance next year, I think. I'm pretty sure it's an annual event.
Yeah, I think so.
It was my goal.
That would be interesting. I think what you said, I may be taking it a bit further, but... have an evening where invite Patrick McHale to basically look at portfolios. You know, I mean, maybe it wouldn't be portfolios. Maybe it'd be, everybody come and present something.
Yeah.
You know, and...
go ahead.
So, I mean, in a sense, we're, you know, we're pushing work on him, but from the other side, it would be his commentary... on basically the commercial aspects of it. I mean, that's what he's into.
there's no reason you can't be devious. In other words, you invite him to talk.
Oh, I see. And
okay?
Be devious,
you invite
yeah.
him to talk.
Right.
But then, of course, you've got questions and discussion afterwards. And at that point, you just start raising all the things. Why aren't you, you know, uh-huh. what is the possibility of blah, blah, blah. In other words, gently, but you can put a person on the spot.
Yeah. That, we had that set up at one time, but it sort of fell through. But he's willing to do it again. But we'll try it. Something like that. Yeah. You're probably right. Devious is better.
It's certainly not in it for the economics. I mean, it's and he is.
He is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was so, clear at that Future of the Print thing. And it made for a fascinating point of view.
Out of Vernissage that night, sorry. Out of Vernissage that night.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's fine. Look, he's in it for the bread. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
All of you pretty well, I gather, are up on current work. You're going to be able to prod on him in terms of what the trends are and nudge him in a way to go with what you want him to do, or what you'd like him to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. It's been nice.
You ready to go?
You want to ride on?
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
I'm just resting.